welcome to Peanut Butter and Jelly Shoes. My name is Caitlin.
My name is Tiffany.
What did we watch today, Tiffany?
And today we watched a classic piece of Americana television from our childhoods.
What was it called?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. We've already done Saved by the Bell Hawaiian Style, which is a movie, so technically this is fresh, but...
Yes, we wanted to revisit the TV show that inspired the movie.
That's right. So we watched we watched two episodes today.
We watched one from season two.
And one from season three?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Tiffany has a lot of DVDs for this, so...
I have all of the DVDs for this.
So I lost track of which season we were watching.
Yeah, the first episode we watched was from season two. It aired in November of 1990.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember what it was called?
No.
It was called Running Zack.
That's right. Man.
Caitlin, when we brought out the discs, was like, what was that episode where Zach finds out he's, like, Native American? And I'm like, oh, look for the racist title.
Yep.
And she found it right away.
I did. Running Zach. And I nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
So what happens in this episode?
Well, this episode opens up in a classroom at Bayside High, which is where our heroes go to school.
Can I make a quick amendment? Yeah. Doesn't it open up at the Max?
No.
Would they're all running in because they're coming from fresh from cheer, or they're fresh from track?
Oh, maybe.
I'm sorry.
I thought that it opened on Lisa talking about her ancestry.
No, it opens on them at the Mac, and she was like, hey guys, guess what?
The Max.
Oh, not the Mac.
Maybe we should start over.
No. This is gold.
Good.
The Max.
Okay, well, I was wrong then.
No, but like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm like, I wrote down that it opens at the Max, and that... I wrote down that I would hate this group of friends if I went to school with them.
Maybe we should do a super brief, who are these friends you're talking about?
Oh, you know, like, Zach Morris, like, the cool blonde preppy kid.
AC Slater, the chauvinistic jock.
Yeah, and then there's Screech, the nerd.
And Kelly, the popular cheerleader.
And then Jessie, the militant feminist.
Yeah, and, did we do Lisa?
Lisa,
the fashion plate.
Yeah, there you go. That's all you need to know.
And Mr. Belding, the awkward, wants to relate to the teens principal.
That's right. That's pretty much all you need to know about the show.
Yeah.
Early 90s California. Done. Boom.
Easy.
Yeah. And then, I think it opens at the Max, and they all run in, they're like, woo, great job at track practice, like, you ran so great, we're gonna beat, what's the name of their rival school?
Valley,
like, you're gonna beat Valley for sure, and then, like, that's when they all sit in their booth.
Except for Screech. Did you notice they don't let Screech sit in their booth? He was hovering behind Jesse and Lisa.
Of course
they won't even let him sit in the booth, because there is no world where they would be friends with him, actually.
No, that's true. And they weren't friends with him in real life, like, the actors.
I don't know that he has friends at all.
No, because he's going to prison or something, isn't he?
He seems like a total creep.
He does. I feel bad for the guy.
I don't.
Well, he was, like, a couple years younger than all the actors on the show.
So?
So, but I mean, like, it was, like, you know when you're 16 and there's, like, a 14-year-old that's trying to hang out with you, you're, like, lame.
Well, I don't think it's their fault that he's now in prison and, like, made an awkward sex tape and had all those other... attempted murder.
Well, maybe they tortured him I'm gonna talk more about Screech torture later. So they have to do a project on their ancestry.
Yeah, and then Lisa's, a family tree project.
Yeah, but for some reason it's just one ancestor that they pick out that's their favorite. And Lisa's like, hey guys, I just found out that one of my ancestors was a slave.
Her great-great-great-grandfather, which I am dubious that math works out.
Well, she was probably born in the 70s.
Lisa?
Yeah. Because this took place in 1991 and she was in high school. She was born in the 70s.
Okay.
So, like... Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Because I automatically was like, that's not enough greats.
Well, I have a couple just singular greats who were born in the 19th century. Like, a great-grandfather.
Alright.
No? I don't know. But it depends. Like, I don't know how old. Maybe she had a grandfather who was, like, old when he...
Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway, but so we find out, yeah, she has a great-great-great-grandfather who was a slave.
Yeah. And she was, like, very perky about it. She's like, hey, guess what, guys? I found out my great-great-grandfather was a slave. Like...
And then it, like, immediately, I think they make, like, murmured remarks, like, oh, no, terrible, sorry.
I'm so sorry.
And then they're like, Jesse, tell us about your ancestors. And she's like, they're dead. That's yeah. my ancestors.
Totally not awkward at all.
You're like, we're going to find out more about that later.
Yeah, that was a teaser. Yeah.
Yeah, and we find out that Slater's grandfather, great-grandfather, was like a bullfighter.
Right, because I guess he's
Spanish.
Or something. And then, I don't remember the rest of them. Just Kelly, did Kelly say anything?
I wish you wouldn't have asked that, because I don't remember.
Me neither. It doesn't matter.
Must not have been important.
Kapowski, Polish.
The big thing was, like, we have to know about Zach, because Zach is the track star, like, superstar of the track world. And if he can't compete, they're not going to beat Valley. And the only way he can compete is if he finishes this 3-minute verbal presentation about his ancestry.
Which, for some reason, it has taken him, like, 2 months to figure out.
30 days. We'll find out later.
Yeah.
And so he goes home with Screech, which, again, like, there's just no world that they would be friends. Like, mm-hmm. Screech brings nothing to the friendship whatsoever.
Doesn't. Poor Screech.
And, like, Zach randomly pulls out this very large sepia-toned photograph, and he's like, hey, look, this is a picture I found in my house. This is probably my ancestor. He's Indian.
Doesn't he pull it out of, like, a trunk at the foot of his bed?
I don't know.
Like, he's had it in his bedroom, like, this whole time, and it just noticed it now.
Yeah, and this is before people made the switch to saying Native American.
Yeah,
because
clearly.
The whole episode, they're just calling...
Like, hey, Indians. That's an Indian guy.
And they're just throwing out lots of, stereotypical, like, Kemosabes and how.
Tonto, someone called.
Tonto,
yeah.
Oh my god, uh-huh. Yeah. There was a lot of cringe-worthy moments.
But then they, like, go to the class the next day, and I don't understand the nature of this assignment, because there's apparently multiple deadlines. Because some of them are giving their...
Yeah, some of them gave them early.
Which I laughed, there's one joke, I think we both chuckled at, where Jessie's going up to give her speech, and she's like, so... The only one that you said does an actual decent job of her speech is Lisa, mm-hmm. and she's like she has a map that she drew of the Underground Railroad. Like, she actually came prepared.
Well, yeah, because her ancestor that was a slave ended up being a conductor on the Underground Railroad, and he was helping.
Or how did they call it in her family? The original soul train.
Oh, the original soul train. Oh my god, they sure did. And so yeah, like, she had a very detailed presentation. So mm-hmm. like, she actually did the work.
Really.
And then Jessie gets up there, and we find out the reason she's been so cagey about talking about her ancestors is, how did she say it?
She's said, like, we're seafaring people, or, like, they're mariners, blah, blah, blah. They sold things, like fruit and people, blah, blah, blah. It was, like, just, like, she tried to, like, quote, unquote, subtly put in, oh, yeah, they sold, like, vegetables, cabbage, people, like, anyway, I'm gonna go sit down now.
And then she was like, Lisa, can you ever forgive me that my ancestors were slave traders? And Lisa's like, that's not who you are.
Yeah, Lisa's just,
Lisa
like...
Lisa was pretty cool.
Yeah, she was like, you've never done that. She's like, and the, well, my favorite part was, I mentioned this to you, was that, so the project was clearly just pick any old ancestor to do a report on, and clearly, for some reason, Jessie had no information on any ancestors except for, like, this one that sold slaves.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's the one she does a presentation on, but it's like, so you can't talk about your grandfather, like, nothing, like, no, just that one, that's the only one you know about.
Well, and here's where I'd like to just throw a flag on the play and call some bullshit. There is absolutely no way, especially in 1990, where a teacher can, like, fact check this.
Right.
So, like, you could get up there and make something up for 3 minutes, right. And you'd get an A+. Because how is she going to say, I'm sorry, your family's not interesting enough? F. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna get an A if you do the work.
Yeah, you could just make up anything.
So,
much.
Yeah, Lisa has this great presentation. Jessie has, like, a one sentence that turns into, like, this blubbering apology. Zach goes up there with Screech, and it immediately takes a sharp turn into uncomfortable territory.
It does.
He makes Screech paint his face with, like, war paint.
He takes, like, lipstick out, and he, like, puts lipstick on Screech's face. And Screech has got his arms crossed, and he's got his face all akimbo, just, like a weirdo.
I thought he was doing his best interpretation of Mickey Rooney playing a Chinese man in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's right. It was, like, he made, like, an awkward, like, I can't even put my finger
on
it.
He, like, screwed up his face in a way that was... weird.
Yeah, it was like somebody, it was like if you explained to somebody what a certain type of race it was, but they had never seen or heard anything about it. It was like, this is what they look like? Like, it was awkward.
So Screech is up there with a tomahawk and his face painted, and Zach is saying, like, my great-great-grandfather was Indian. He was Cherokee. whatever. And then the teacher is like, oh, really? Well, where was the tribe located? Where was this? What was he a chief? Where did they travel from? What did they stand for? And I'm sitting here like, seriously? Like, Jesse just said my parents, like, or my ancestors, like, were slave traders. The end. No follow-up questions.
Yeah.
But Zach is, like, the third degree. Well, it was so weird.
I think she she could tell that he had done no research because he just was saying, he was blubbering nonsense. And, like, whereas, like...
But that's my point, is, yeah, like, how can you prove it? Like...
That's true.
I don't know. But she basically told him, like, you've got to redo this 3-minute presentation you've had 30 days to do.
Yeah.
Or else I'm failing you and you can't run in the track meet.
Right.
That's the drama.
Well, okay, can I just, one quick thing, take one step backwards? I laughed at the joke. It was so stupid. So, like, they talk about, Jesse's like, oh, my forefathers did whatever. And then Screech goes, Jesse has four fathers? I don't know why, it was stupid.
It was funny because for being, like, the nerd character, Screech was the dumbest one.
Yeah, he's not a nerd. I don't think they know what a nerd is.
No, like, Jesse was more a nerd.
Yeah.
Because she was smart and bookish.
I think Screech was a dork. He's not a nerd. He's a dork. He's just an awkward human being.
Yeah.
But he's not smart or well-educated.
No, God, he was so dumb. He's like, oh, cool, you get four allowances. And we're like, get the fuck out, Screech. How are you their friend? It upsets me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But they wouldn't have been friends.
No, they wouldn't.
So the teacher's like, I have someone that I think you should talk to.
Oh, my God.
Because the teacher... So then the teacher, like, gives them the address of some random dude... And Zach, like, shows up at his house, which is clearly just, like, a converted garage.
Oh, yeah. It, like, I don't even know what it looked like. It, like, literally, yeah, you're right. It just looked like he like, went into someone's garage.
Yeah. And he just had, like, a couple boogie boards tacked to the wall and, like, a lot of books. And he was Indian, as they called him.
Yeah, that's what they said.
What, Chief Henry, I think it was?
Something like that.
Yeah. And Zach walks in there and he's like, oh, hey, my teacher told me to come talk to you about this. And he literally pulls the sepia tone picture out of his pants. Did you catch that?
No.
It was, like, in his pants. He just pulled it out. Not his pants pocket, his pants.
Like, tucked into his underwear.
Yeah, and he's like, here, check out this picture. Can you tell me anything about this guy? And because, I guess, you know, every Native American knows every other Native American that's ever lived. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who this is.
Yeah, he, like, recognizes this photo. And he's like, oh, yeah. And it's like... He's not even, like, I don't remember. He's like, oh, yeah, he's definitely an Indian. Like, well, like, obviously. Like, my God. But he knows everything about him. And then he gives, like, he's like, I have a 3-minute speech I have to give on this specific guy. He pulls about 18 books out of his shelf. He's like, here you go, read these. And he's like, I'll never be able to read all of these in time for the track meet.
Oh, my God, it made me so angry. I'm like, seriously, open one book. And pull out, open the book that his picture is in.
Go to the index and look for the guy's name.
And read the caption, and that's all you gotta do. Like, good grief.
Right? And it's like, that's all you gotta do. You give one little speech on that, and that's all you gotta do. Although, I gotta say, what was it that they said? We laughed. Oh, I laughed because you said. So this guy starts pulling all these random books out of the shelf.
Yeah.
And then he starts handing them to Zach, and it's probably a stack of, like, 8 or 9 big textbooks. And you said this totally, like, sincerely. You're just going to be like, he's so strong.
I did.
And I was like, he's, like, 15 years old.
He was not 15. Mark Paul Gosselaar was older than that.
He was maybe 17 at the very oldest.
I don't care. He was very strong.
Like, he's so strong. $5.
It brought me back to having that awakening watching Saved by the Bell when I was little, and I had such a crush on Zach Morris.
Yeah.
And my sister and I had a poster of him and AC Slater in our bathroom, and we would argue over who got to, like, look at Zach more because Slater was gross with his curly mullet.
I did. Thank you. Okay, I never found Slater attractive.
No, he was gross.
He has like a Jerry curl thing going on that I think is, like, all I could picture even as, like, a 6-year-old being like, his hair is just greasy, like, gross.
Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed that just came out of me when I was like, he's so strong. Like, I couldn't even stop
No, you just, like, I got a glimpse of back in time. It was really great.
Okay, so he was born in 1974.
So he would have been 16.
Oops. Well,
there's a word for what that is, and I'm not going to say it.
You don't need to say it, because now it's 2015, and he's in his 40s, and he's older than me.
And he looks great.
And he was older than me then.
Okay, I believe you.
And now I feel weird.
So, this is a glimpse of pre-Google America. Cause it was,
oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And this guy, yeah, just read 18 books.
Pre-Encyclopedia Britannica.
Totally. Well,
well, he would have just given him the encyclopedia, then.
That's true. Yeah, just looked up that guy's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, oh, and I think the thing that annoyed me the most about this, well, there's two things that annoy me about Chief Henry.
Only two?
Okay, there's a lot of things that annoy me about Chief Henry. But two of them was, like, the joke around him was just, like, he would say things, they're like, oh, so you are going to the spirit guide or whatever like that, but he's just like, no, I just want to get to the beach, and it's, like, laugh track. But then it's, like, the joke is, hey, they're just, like, normal people. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, I expect you to know all these spiritual things. And he's just like, yeah, man, I'm just go hang 10. And then it's like, laugh. It's like, he knows about what people like. That was the joke.
He's a person?
He's a human being. Like, that was the joke. It was like, ha ha ha. Like, he's not all about Eagle. Like, he's all about, like, just going to Maui.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That was the joke. And it made me really uncomfortable.
He started calling Zach running Zach because he's like, you're a runner. And you're Zach.
And I have the authority to just dub you with a new name.
Yeah.
I met you
so yesterday. That's not racist, because that name was given to him by Chief Henry.
Chief Henry. Chief of what? We don't know.
They didn't say. Probably Chief of Crafts, because Zach shows up the next day and he's like, here, I made this for you overnight. It was like this super intricate headband, like a woven headband with like beads and feathers. Like, speaking as someone who does a lot of crafts.
Yeah.
It takes more than a night to do something like that.
Absolutely.
So that's nonsense.
Well, and also, they seem to blend all of the Native American cultures into this one guy. Because, like, so he's talking about, so the picture of the guy, he was on a horse, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay, so he looked very much like sort of like a Plains Indian kind of guy. But then they talk about he's Nez Perce.
Yeah.
Which is a Northwestern Indian tribe, which is a totally different culture. And this guy is an expert on that as well.
And he's an expert on anything that's ever been Native American.
But then, like, when... So, can we spoil what happens to him at the end?
Well, we're almost there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's fine.
But I was just saying, like, but then he has, like, this turquoise jewelry on, which is, like, a very, like, Southwest Indian tribe thing. So it's sort of like, he's just, like, just... what? Like, they're just like, I don't know, whatever. Like, well, just throwing everything on
I don't think
him.
Peter Engel really cared too much about being specific. He was like, we need an Indian character. He's gonna know everything about...
This guy's tan. He can play it.
Yeah. It would be like, I mean, them having a foreign exchange student from China, and they know everything about Asian culture as a whole.
Yeah, just all of it.
You know, because they don't want to take the time to do more than
You're correct. And they had like 5 minutes to explain all of it.
Yeah. So then we cut back to class and Screech is giving his presentation on his family.
Oh, yeah.
And Screech's was super ridiculous. He's talking in this really inappropriate Italian accent, and he's like, oh, my great uncle was like a Italian lover, and he had the ability to pick up any chick. Let me give you an example. And he tries a pickup line on Lisa, and then a pickup line on another girl, and then he goes to the teacher, what's my grade? And she goes, you get an A. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you're making Zach do research, and Screech just tried two pickup lines.
Yeah.
Like, why does she hate Zach so much? She probably didn't know how strong he was.
She didn't have a crush on Zach like you did.
Mm-mm.
I get it. Well, she was older. But yeah, like the speech is like, okay, 3 minute speech. I keep saying this multiple times. You have to give a 3 minute speech, and then each of them get up there and they maybe talk 30 seconds at max.
Yeah.
God, I wish my high school was that easy.
I know.
We didn't have that.
Yeah. No, we didn't have that. So Zach is working on his project. He goes to Mr. Belding, who's, like, barely in this episode, which is a shame, because he is a delight. And he's, like, trying to get an extension on this project. And Mr. Belding's like, yeah, I'll just work my magic on her, and she'll make sure you get the extension. And I'm like, first of all, that's not how it works. Like, the principal trumps it. Like, if the principal says that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I think that's how that works. So yeah. The teacher comes in there, and she's like, no, he doesn't get an extension. And Mr. Belding's like, oh, man. That sucks. How are we gonna beat Valley without Zach?
Right? Oh, and then there's another great part. So, right after that, Was it? It was before his big speech, right? Where they're back at the Max.
Yeah, it's the pep rally.
The pep rally.
Yeah, that Zach doesn't show up to.
Yeah, nobody bothered to check if Zach was there before. They were like, and now here's Zach Morris, the star of the track team.
How did no one notice he wasn't
And nobody
there?
Even bothered to look if he was had even shown up.
And why did they have the pep rally in the local teen hangout instead of at the gym or the track and field?
Because they've definitely had a gym set on that show. I remember
they
seeing
did. They
it.
Had bleachers and a basketball
they
court.
They did, and they just nobody like.
It was probably in a storage.
This is like a totally unrelated restaurant to the campus.
Yeah.
And people are trying to eat their food. Like, I'm sorry, can you imagine if you're like sitting there, you're like, oh boy, like, let's have a date. I'm like, we're going to have burgers. And then all of a sudden, like, this pep rally is happening right in your face.
I would be irritated.
Yeah, I would be like, I need my money back. I'm sorry. I can't stay here. This is really raucous.
Very raucous. So Zach's not there at the pep rally. And we find out why, because he got a very upsetting phone call.
Chief Henry.
Who, oh, no, he... Remember, he made the phone call after his presentation. Like, we haven't even talked about his presentation yet.
Yeah,
we're doing a terrible job.
He made a presentation where he was wearing, like, full-on...
The most offensive... Like, he was wearing the giant Indian headdress.
Yeah.
He had his face painted.
Yeah.
So he, like, upped the stereotype ante.
Right.
And, like, stood there posturing with his arms crossed. And, like, pretty much he said the same thing he did in the first speech, except he gave the name of the guy in the picture.
Right.
And now the teacher is like, oh, A+, because you dressed up for him.
Yeah, you bought a costume.
So I literally wrote down, my heart is sad on this, and I don't know if that was what it was in reference to.
Probably.
I don't know, but I just was upset about that whole thing. So afterwards, he's like, I have to call Chief Henry and let him know I got an A+. And he makes a phone call. We don't know who picks up, but whoever picks up is like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, because it's like, he calls this guy who lives in a garage, or like, he lives in like it literally just looks like a basement or something. Yeah. And he goes like, hello, I'd like to speak with Chief Henry, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're not bothered? Like, if I called you and some strange man answered your phone, I would be like, what is happening? I wouldn't be like, hello, may I please speak with Tiffany? Like, I would be alarmed. Like,
well, I'm glad you would be.
I guess, like, but he's just, like, totally unfazed by the fact that a total stranger answered this guy's phone.
And I think it's weird that after 2 days of knowing this man, he's, like, got his phone number memorized, and he wants to call him immediately from the payphone in the school.
Right? He's like, this is my new best friend.
Oh, my God. But spoiler alert, he's dead.
Yeah, he died.
We don't know what happened. He's just dead.
He just died.
And so Zach's now too distraught to run in the relay for track.
That guy that I've literally talked with for 10 straight, maybe 10 minutes at most of my life.
So he's very upset about it. He tells everyone he can't run. Everyone's really disappointed, but they're, like, trying to not be mad about it because they're trying to be like, oh, well, you had someone you know die, but I'm still mad at you.
Right.
And this is an awkward position for me to be in.
But then the teacher who knew the guy also was like, our very dear friend died.
Yeah, our very dear friend. So yeah. Zach is then at home at night tossing and turning. And then we know he's going to have a dream because the classic dream music tinkles to life in the background.
True. There's like a harp going on.
A total harp. And then there's Chief Henry dressed all in white because he's dead now.
Right.
And dead people wear white.
That's true. And he's like, he's getting, I don't know, what did he tell
us? He was
Zach?
Getting fitted for wings.
He's getting fitted for wings, but he was just like, hey man, like, why did he show up to him?
He showed up to be like, oh, I heard you got an A on your project. I was there watching you. Are you excited for your race tomorrow?
Oh, right. So he goes and races.
Well, Zach's like, I don't think I can race. I'm too sad. And he's like, no, the answer is in your hands. And then he, like, faded away. And Zach wakes up and does the most awkward acting of, like, startling awake. And then he's like, in my hands. The answer's in my hands. Which he's saying aloud, and then he looks in his fist, where he's clutching that headband that the Chief Henry
he's
made
like,
of.
That answers nothing.
And on the back of the headband, and you see Chief Henry embroidered "Beat Valley."
Right.
So he's like, "Oh, I guess he knew he was going to die, and he wanted me to run in the race."
Yeah, it's like he knew. Yeah, well, because he was a Native American, he knew he was going to die.
Yeah,
because that's how it works.
And then the episode ended.
Yeah, and then it just
like
was
we
like,
don't know if he
did he beat
if
Valley?
He won. We don't know if Valley was defeated. Like, we're not sure. It just ended.
Do you remember? Okay. Yeah, it was weird. It was abrupt.
Yeah, it was very abrupt. There was no closure.
No. What happened?
I'm
Do you think they're going to be okay?
I'm going to assume that they won, and they beat Valley, and Zach worked through his, you know, grief on the course.
I think you're correct. I also love how they're all, like, they were all on the track team. Or at least it was...
Lisa was. Lisa was. Baloney, because she's not athletic.
No, she is not at all. And another thing. Oh, and then also, they imply that Jessie's also on the track team.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, fast lady, and she, like, gets up. But they all, like, had come from just running, and they all had perfect hair mm-hmm. and perfect clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, Jessie had huge, like, clunky earrings. Not Jessie.
No, that was at the pep rally.
Okay. No, but, like, in the, okay, I'm stepping way backwards. The first scene, they're all coming from running at track.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
like, wow, you're doing a great job. But they're all, their hair is all, like, Zach's hair is all moosed perfectly.
And the girls have their shelf bangs, like, going
on. And they have, like, big clunky earrings on. Like, wow, we just ran 6 miles. I'm like, yeah. God, can you believe it? Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Although, there was a terrible insult that Slater called Screech at one point. Do you remember this?
I do. It was very awkward.
It was like, no show would be able to get away with this now, but Screech made some crass comment at the Max, and then Slater calls him a twink.
He just goes, I don't remember this specific phrasing, but he was like, oh, shut your mouth, you twink.
Like, we were like, what?
Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
It was, so.
Yeah.
It was a pretty great episode, huh?
I liked it overall, for sure. And then we skipped to season 3.
We did, and we watched an episode called All in the Mall.
All in the Mall. It aired in 91.
That's right, November of 1991.
And Caitlin had not
I've
seen this one before.
I've never seen this episode. Like, I've watched this show a lot, and I just, nothing was triggering for me. No memories whatsoever.
I remembered it. It's not a big deal.
No, it's, you're, I get it. No, it's cool.
I mean, it's probably just because I watch this a lot at home alone.
But I've definitely, like, seen, like, for some reason, this one just, not, I never saw this one.
Well, this one opens on, basically, this is, like, the awkward time where Jesse is not really on the show, and it's, like, almost when Tori's gonna be on the show, and so Jesse's just not gone, or she's gone, and they just don't talk about why or where she is or what she's doing. She's just vanished, and yeah. It's, like, fine. So it's everybody else. They're trying to get tickets to go see U2 in concert.
Of course.
Like, just, like, the height of rock music in 1991.
Apparently.
And so they make, because they sell tickets in the mall.
Yeah, like, in the food court of the mall. Like.
So they make Screech sleep overnight.
Oh, yeah.
In a sleeping bag. So he's at the head of the line. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So Kelly, Lisa, Zach, and Slater show up. Which is pretty messed up. They made him spend the night there by himself.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh man, look at this huge line. What are we going to do? And then Zach's like, no problem. Look what I did. And then Screech is sleeping in a sleeping bag at the front of the line in his pajamas.
Yeah, which is weird. He has his alarm clock there.
Yeah, and he, like, wakes up and, yeah, they're like, great, he's here, so let's just go shopping and, like, split away.
So messed up. Someone should stay with the poor... I mean, I don't like Screech. Don't get me wrong. He is terrible.
Right.
But I would feel bad if I made somebody wait overnight... alone in a mall.
And, like, they didn't even switch him out. Like, he, for all we know, he hasn't peed in, like, 15 hours. Like, and they're just great, he could just stay there.
Which, I mean, partly I blame everything that happens on them because they entrusted Screech, who's the biggest screw-up ever.
He really is.
So he's at the front of the line. You know, the ticket window opens, and the guy's like, oh, what can I do for you? And he's like, I'd like 5 of your best tickets, please.
Yeah, and he's the first person to buy tickets for this concert. Like, keep that in mind. Like, no one has bought a ticket for this concert yet. And he's like, I want your best seats. And the guy says, orchestra or mezzanine?
Which is ridiculous.
Like, that's not even the same, like, that's not...
It's not the same level.
No, mezzanine's the middle. Orchestra is the, like, that's the best.
And because Screech is a fucking idiot, he doesn't ask the guy which is closer.
Yeah, he doesn't know what mezzanine means. He's like,
which
huh.
You know what? That's fine. Maybe you don't know what mezzanine means. You know what an orchestra is. If you've been anywhere ever, you know that's closest to the stage. You can also, I don't know, ask the guy who's employed there,
yeah,
like, hey, what's closer?
All the 18 people behind you in line.
Yeah, so he's like, I don't know what to do, I guess I better go find Zach and Slater and ask them. So he turns to the guy behind him and he's like, hey, hold my place in line. And then he gets out of line like a dumbass.
Yeah, and he's like, what do you want, orchestra or mezzanine? And then they're like, but he tells the guy, yeah, hold my place. And then he's like, oh, here's the guy, and he's walking past them.
And they're like, oh my god, what are you doing? And he doesn't speak English.
Yeah, the guy's like, no, I'm blowing glass. And then he just walks away. So then they have to go to the back of the line again.
Yeah.
I'm missing some key points.
You're missing some key points. So they're really mad at Screech, which is understandable. So they tell him to go get back in line. The two guys meet up with Kelly, who's just, like, randomly sitting on a bench in the middle of the mall, drinking a soft drink, which is clearly the emptiest prop drink I've ever seen in my entire life. Like,
yes.
She was gesturing so crazily with it. It was totally an empty cup.
It was.
So they're sitting down talking to her, and she's all upset that they didn't get tickets. She's like, well, that was so much money I gave you. What are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. Then Lisa shows up after she's been shopping at the shoe store, and she makes some, like, really awkward comment where she's like, oh, yeah, Eddie the shoe guy was just taking pictures of my feet.
Yeah, like, it was, like, play for laughs. Like, it was an adult man. It was like, yeah, this guy at the shoe store likes me. He just took a bunch of Polaroids of my feet. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, no, that's a pedophile. Like, you're in danger.
Like, if that happened in 2001, those pictures would be on the internet pretty quick.
Yeah, like, nobody was concerned about this. They're just like, oh, people are weird.
Oh, Lisa, everyone loves you. Oh, like, Lisa. Maybe you should report that.
Yeah, no, that was really sketch.
So she's like, scoot over, guys. They can sit down on the bench, too. And they scoot over, and she sits down, and then she finds, like, a random gift bag full of $5,000.
Yeah, just sitting there next to the bench.
Yeah, and so then they immediately start arguing over what to do. Kelly wants to turn it in right away.
Yes.
The guys are like, no, what we should do is buy more tickets. We should spend all this money to buy tickets, then we can scalp them and get more money back than we had in the first place. So they try to go back in line, and they're trying to, like, buy people out of line.
Yeah.
And so they do. They buy enough people out of line to get to the front of the line, and then they close the window and put a sold-out sign in the window.
Right.
They missed it.
Do you remember how they lured some of the people out of the line? There was, like, a fat kid that they just held ice cream cones at.
She's not exaggerating.
No, and they had a rat tail. Yeah, oh, God, he turned his head around. I was like, oh, like, I made a comment. And then they, like, literally were like, come here, and, like, they pulled him out of line.
They were dangling it like a treat in front of a dog's nose.
And then they had two nerd girls.
Yeah, they were flirting with two nerd girls, and then my personal favorite was when Kelly and Lisa walked by, and they were each carrying a shopping bag, and they literally threw it in front of them and went, oh, no. And, like, five men leapt out of line to pick up these bags.
Yeah.
It was so dumb.
And then they got to the front of the line, and then the big thing came down and said, sold out.
Yeah, and so they're pretty upset about it, and they're talking about it in the food court. And then over the loudspeaker just comes this voice that's like, due to popular demand, they're adding another U2 show tomorrow.
Right.
And they're like, great, we'll spend the night in the mall tonight so we can be first in line tomorrow. Oh, and we'll God. Get as many tickets as possible.
Wait, is this... Okay, so are we talking about the sketchy guys yet? Have we gotten to that yet?
No, but there were two scary men that were, like, typical thugs. They were wearing leather jackets, and they looked kind of scary, and their names are Frankie and Louie.
Yeah.
And as soon as the kids got up off of the park bench with the money and ran away, they, like, randomly appeared. And they're like, follow those kids.
Yeah, those kids got the money.
And we're like, oh, no. Like, there's bank robbers or something. That's clearly their loot.
Yeah, so they took them... Was the overnight before the... No, the movie theater. They went to go see a movie.
They did go to see a movie. To shake
the guys. And you were laughing at the movie theater set.
I love the movie theater set in Saved by the Bell. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It makes no sense. It's like a tiny room with folding chairs set up.
Yeah, it's literally two rows of folding chairs.
Yeah.
That's your movie theater.
It's so weird. I don't understand why anyone would buy that's a movie theater. I mean, I know they had a shoestring budget, but come on. Spring for something more than a folding chair inside of a multiplex.
Didn't convince me.
No, and then they're all showing things off that they bought with their money. Like, Slater bought a random hand? Yeah, like, it's a hand?
I thought it was going to come into play in the plot, like, later.
No, like, he just wanted a fake plastic hand.
But, it, like, yeah, he spent $200 on a hand and that just looked like his own hand.
And Screech bought a Superman costume with the fake muscles.
Ugh, yeah.
And Lisa bought a lot of shoes.
What did Kelly buy? She didn't buy anything, did she?
She wanted to buy a bathing suit, but we don't know if she actually did.
Oh man, these questions were never... So many loose ends never tied up.
Too many loose ends. Yeah, so they're watching this movie, and then they see the two scary guys come in, and they're like, oh, God, super casually, guys, let's just get up and pretend like we're going to the bathroom.
Like, every 5 seconds, they each get up and walk away.
While whistling, because that's what sold it for being, like, super
casual.
Yeah, like,
yeah, let's totally, like, let's walk casual. Like, twirling a bag. Like, yeah, that's not suspicious.
It's totally subtle.
Yeah.
Because if I'm with a group of friends and I go to the bathroom, I take all of my personal belongings with me.
And I whistle, and I, like, look around and avoid eye contact with everyone. Yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. So, of course, the guys follow them out. And now they're really starting to freak out. Kelly's convinced they're going to get murdered.
Yeah, so, like, this doesn't make any sense. So they're like, okay, we have to spend the night at the mall to stay at the front of the line. Clearly, Screech had done that the night before, but he literally slept at the front of the line. Like, he slept in front of the ticket booth.
Well, they didn't want to do that because they thought they were being chased by two murderers.
That's true.
So they needed a place to hide, like, undercover.
Right, so they went to a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
And then they were, like, they, like, did a diversion tactic, like, with, like, hey, tell us about that football. What kind of skin is that made out of?
Yeah, that was weird. Human skin.
Well, he said, is it pig skin or hog skin? I'm like, isn't that the same?
I think it would have been hilarious if they're like, oh, let me just check the back. Oh, it's human skin. And then suddenly it, like, takes this really dark turn.
And, like, those are the guys that made it. And he points to the murderers in the window.
Yes!
Oh my God, yes.
I would have watched that.
Well, we can remake it. Mm-hmm. But then they go, so they clearly show that they get locked into this sporting goods store to hide overnight.
And they're all sleeping in one tent.
Oh, and in case you're wondering, sorry, backtrack a second. Where are the parents? Okay, this is 1991, but Zach Morris has his cell phone on him.
And it's evolved from the earlier seasons.
Yeah, it had a flip, didn't it?
It wasn't just the brick.
This blows your mind. In 1991, Zach Morris had a flip phone, and he's like, because I remember thinking, like, oh yeah, how are they going to tell their parents before they brought that up? Because it's like, where they all have quarters on them, like, they're trying to hide, and he just pulls out a cell phone, and I was like, whoa! Like, that kind of blew my mind a little.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like, just call your parents and tell them you're here. Yeah. He's like, everyone tell your mom and dad that you're spending the night at someone else's houses. Like, I'm like, oh, that was probably the first instance I can think of that I know of that a cell phone resolved a plot point. Like, where they're like, oh, just call your mom right now.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
It was like, it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a little bit ahead of its time.
It was totally
just like Zach Morris.
Just like Zach Morris. Yeah, so they go, but then they show set up, so they're all, like, trapped in the sporting goods store where these two thugs, for whatever reason, can't break through a glass pane, like, in an empty mall.
And then they were complaining about, like, oh, it's really cramped in this tent, like, stop touching my feet, you're too close to me. And then the camera, like, kind of pans out a little, and you see, like, four other tents.
Yeah, it's like, y'all could have just, no, it's better if y'all split up, because if you think a murder's coming after you, if y'all split up, at least a couple of you will survive. Like, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible hiding place if you're hiding somewhere with glass doors. They can see in where you're going. But, right. Yeah, I get your point.
There was, like, two other tents, like, full-size tents set up.
Oh my God. They're just so dumb. They're dumb.
And so then they get there to the front line the very next day. They tried to buy... I don't remember what happened after this. I just blacked out.
Oh, great. Well, I'll see how far I can carry this. They, at one point, are still running and hiding from the men.
Yeah.
And they decide that the best way to do that is to hide in plain sight at a bridal boutique.
Oh, right.
And there's, like, a window display of, like, a priest marrying a bride and groom, and there is a best man and a bridesmaid. And they're mannequins. And then, like, cut to, the mannequins are gone, and they are all wearing the outfit.
Of course they are.
So, like, Zach and Kelly are getting married, Lisa's a bridesmaid,
Slater's
the best man,
yeah.
And Screech is the priest. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they're, like, arguing and bickering about, like, we have to turn the money back in and get the murderers away from us. We should tell, you know, mall security. No, we shouldn't. We should get the tickets. We should invest in the stock market. That came up at one point. It was really
random.
It
sure did.
And then every time someone would walk by the window, they would, like, freeze in position.
It was classic Saved by the Bell.
Classic. And no one noticed, including the person who came and was like, oh, I like that priest's suit. They literally picked Screech up and walked him out, and Screech audibly goes, Zach, help me! And they still, like, acted like it was normal.
Like, none of the people that worked there noticed that these were real human beings.
Oh, God.
And that, like, a mannequin, I don't know much about store mannequins, but, like, if you picked up a full-size adult male store mannequin, how much do you think, like, tops maybe 20 pounds?
Yeah, I don't know.
Screech is clearly, like, what would you say, like, 100 and something.
100
but, like,
and something.
They pick him up, and, like, they don't notice that this is a real human.
Oh, my God.
And they carry him away.
So then they get to the front of the line.
Yeah, they do.
And they're like, we would like the maximum 10 tickets per person, please. And the guy was like, okay, $3,000.
But you did the math, which is 60
a... 60 a ticket, right. Which with inflation would be what?
$105 in today's money.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so they go to the shoebox where they've been keeping the money, and it's gone. You remember that part?
I sure do.
And then so they run back to the shoe store, manned by creepy Eddie, who likes to take pictures of underage girls' feet.
Yeah, they should have called the police.
And they literally tear it apart. And they, like, they ransack, are throwing stuff.
They ransack a store.
Yeah. They end up finding the money.
Yeah, it's, like, in the very last shoebox.
Which
is sitting there.
I love how, like, this show, and I never noticed it when I watched it originally, but, like, this show is, like, generic. Do you know what I mean? Like, the shopping bags look like gift bags you buy at the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
The shoe store, the shoe boxes are all yellow with black lids.
Yeah.
Like, everything is so generic. Like, the soft drink cup was just styrofoam. Like, nothing is, like, I don't know, it was just, I thought that was funny.
It was funny.
So they find the money, and they run back to buy the tickets, and they're still being chased by the guys. So they decide they're gonna just tell mall security.
Yeah, they're like, help us, that guy's chasing us.
Yeah, and then they show up, the two bad guys show up while they're talking to the mall security guy.
Yeah.
And then, they're like, what do we do? Like, they're after us. Shoot them or they're gonna kill us or something, and the mall security guy's like, well, I'm on their side.
What?
And Caitlin, at this point, you're convinced they're undercover cops.
Yeah, I was thinking that it was an undercover, because, like, okay, if you find, I've seen Jackie Brown, like, if you find $5,000 in a little bag that's tucked away behind a bench, that's a drop. Like, somebody dropped that cash there, and some thug is gonna come pick it up. Like, don't touch that. Like, that's not for you.
It's not for you.
No, but they're like, whoa. Like, so I'm immediately thinking, oh, undercover cops are doing a drug sting, and then they had somebody do a dead drop over here, and then this guy's gonna come pick it up later. No, that's not what happened.
Well, you were looking pretty pleased with yourself, too, when the mall security guy was like, I'm on their side. You're like, I knew it.
I was like, I got this. They're undercover cops. Like,
and I'm, like, dying inside, because I know what's gonna happen.
You're crying.
And they're like, surprise! You're on candid camera.
Yeah, so this whole time, even when they were hiding in a separate, locked-away store, all of this, when they're literally thinking they're going to get murdered and they're panicking and trying to contact the police, this whole time...
They've been being filmed.
They've been being filmed. Without signing a non-disclosure agreement or, a clearance?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't sign any clearance paperwork.
Well, presumably it wasn't being filmed live. I don't know, but they're being followed around, and it was so hilarious because... As the guy's saying, you're on candid camera, suddenly, like, people just appear with camera equipment.
Yeah.
They're not coming from, like, hiding behind a planter or anything. They just walk, like, into frame.
Right.
So, presumably, they've not even been doing that good of a job of hiding.
Oh.
And you can't do that good of a job of hiding in 1991 when your video cameras were enormous.
Right.
And there was a guy that wandered into screen with a boom microphone.
Like, there's been this guy here this whole time.
And how did they not notice that? And they're like, for participating, you guys win 5 free front row tickets to the U2 concert.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is, it was clearly real money, because they gave it to people, they spent it on things in the store, and nobody once stopped them this entire time. Like, so, for all I know, this it could have been a guy that was just like, oh shit, like, $5,000, and they just ran away from the store. Like, what is your end game here? Like, what were the odds... that a person who was going to find that money would then stay at the mall overnight.
Well, I think probably the whole point of it was to... It was, like, one of those... That show that's on now, like, what would you do?
Yeah.
Like, if you find money, what are you going to do? And they film it. But it just so happened that it took these dumbasses 2 days to make a decision with what they were going to do with the money.
And you were perturbed because they were like, oh, yeah, the show is completely sold out, but they just happened to have already... I don't know. It was weird.
Well, no, I was irritated because they had... As their prize for participating, they had 5 front row tickets to the U2 concert. But the concert had been sold out, and it just so happened that they announced a new concert date. So, like, were they old tickets they got? Did they happen to get new tickets? Like, was that always going to be the prize?
I don't know.
I don't understand, but I didn't like the resolution. And then it just ended. Again, it was just like, freeze frame. Oh, cool, we got tickets.
Well, they just so happened to have 5 tickets for the show. And there happened to be 5 friends that found it. And thank God Jesse was on vacation that week.
She was probably in, like, Miami or something with her stepmom.
She was probably learning strip dance.
She was
pole dancing class.
She probably was getting ready for
She was.
For
she was meeting with her cousin, Tori.
Oh, God, I hate... I know how much you like Tori, though, and...
I don't, like, love Tori. I just don't hate Tori.
You thought she was cool with her leather jacket.
She had a leather jacket, and she could build a car engine. She was awful. Can't do it cooler than that.
She was the 1990 version of Robin from How I Met Your Mother. They're like, what's a cool girl? I don't know. She probably can fix the car and wear a leather jacket.
Maybe. Wait, is that what Robin was supposed to
be? No, they're like, what's a cool girl? I don't know. She probably smokes cigars and likes, you know, fast cars and bungee jumping.
Yeah, that's real.
You know? Like, I don't know.
I guess.
I didn't like Tori. But that would be, like, another hour-long podcast.
Oh, no. Just the Tori podcast.
Just the Tori podcast. Cutting her down.
Oh,
hate
no.
her so much.
Poor Tori.
Oh, my God. No, it's fine.
She didn't ask to be... Wait, maybe she did at all.
She probably did. She's probably, like, Peter Engel's niece or something.
She was, like, a Tori Spelling situation.
Yeah, probably. Aww. Tori Spelling was on Saved by the Bell.
She was. She was Violet.
She was. She was Screech's girlfriend. The braided pigtails.
Can I just say that they just did nothing but shit on Screech this entire episode.
Well, yeah.
Everything out of their mouth was an insult to him. And I'm like, why does he, like, not, okay, your point of they would never be friends with him, but why does he hang out with them? Like,
because no one else will hang out with him.
So sad. I guess. I feel bad for him.
I don't feel bad for him because he's obnoxious as all get out. Like, yeah, they shouldn't have asked him to, you know, stay there overnight and no one stayed with him and left him all alone. But, like, why in the world would you get out of line?
He's just
like,
dumb.
And in the middle of them, like, trying to find the money, like, he's pooping his pants because he finds this random strip of wood, and he's like, this is going to make a great slide for my pet turtle.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm like, keep your eyes on the prize, Screech. Like, he can't focus.
Well, and they're so dumb because, like, this cat only fucks up, and then we're going to have him do this big project for us. He fucks it up. You're not surprised. And then they're like, well, he'll just stay in line. Like, oh, my God.
You,
like,
can't trust
someone
him.
Else do this. Like, yeah. Why... It would be one thing if he was, like, a nerd and he was smart and had solutions.
Yeah.
Like, then, like, okay, we're going to keep him around because he helps. But he brings nothing to the table.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He brings absolutely nothing. He's worthless.
He's a waste of space. Oh, poor Screech.
Oh, I was going to say, you turned the corner really fast on hating on Screech.
No.
I'm saying you felt bad for him.
Well, compare it for this group. Like, he's a human being. Like, he has rights, obviously. But, like...
His best friend was a robot named Kevin that he built himself.
Oh, no. I thought Zach was his best friend. I thought part of it was that, because in the original series, Good Morning, Miss Bliss, the only people that were in it were Lisa, Zach, and Screech.
Yeah.
And Screech was best friends with Zach.
That's how they bill it. Like, they bill them as, like, best friends because they grew up together, but I still don't buy it.
Yeah, I feel like Screech and Zach were, like, those guys, they were friends when they were, like, 7.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, they grew up, and Zach is a good enough guy that, like, this friend is totally weird. But, like, he's just like, I'm just going to keep him around because I don't want him to, like, murder someone. Because he would. Like, he would
might
murder.
Have those tendencies.
And he literally stabbed a guy, the actor. Like,
yeah.
He wouldn't, like, Screech in real life.
I don't think he'd hesitate.
No, so they're like, guys, we have to keep him around because if he doesn't, he's going to go, like, crazy on our school.
So, what did you think about Saved by the Bell? When was the last time you'd seen the TV show?
I mean, you know what? I remember there being reruns on TV, like, back in, like, the early 2000s. Like, I probably saw the last time I saw a rerun of the show was probably when I was maybe in, like, college.
Okay. And what did you think? Did it hold up for you? Scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, for what it is, it's great. I mean... If some kid watched it now who had never seen it before, they'd probably say it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, okay, that's fair. But for what it is, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun show. It's like it does not take itself seriously.
No. And you can tell they're having a great time.
Yeah, it's
and
baloney.
With the exception of Screech, every one of the actors now still embraces it.
Yeah, like, they're not...
And they're willing to talk about it, and, like, I remember when that Entertainment Weekly cover came out a few years ago, where they had everybody, except Screech, they had everybody, like, back at Bayside, like, taking pictures, like, they had that prom picture with Zach and Kelly, and I, like, lost my mind. And then they did the reunion on Jimmy Fallon. Like, they heartfelt seemed to love it and embrace it. I mean, and they wouldn't be anywhere if they hadn't started on that. And I hate when actors will, like, pretend like they weren't involved in something that made them famous.
Right.
They must have had it's bad.
They must have had a decent time, because, like, yeah.
I think they must have. I don't think that Lifetime movie told many truths.
No, because that was partially based on Dustin Diamond's book. Yeah. Which...
They seem to all get along with the exception of Dustin. They wouldn't... There's no benefit to them, like, still pretending now, right, decades later, that they're friends.
No, like, they still will see each other. Mm-hmm. So I think they're doing great. Yeah, did you like it?
I loved it. I mean, this is one of my favorite shows of all time. I watched this every Saturday morning when I was little.
Absolutely.
And I just loved it, and I was so excited when they finally put it out on DVD, and I bought it right away, and I've had Saved by the Bell drinking game parties at my house, and we've watched the movies together. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's such a pure, nostalgic enjoyment for me. And I know, like, the production value isn't very good, you know, this and that, like, the stories aren't necessarily believable,
the writing is terrible, the acting is terrible,
the acting gets better,
the lighting's awful,
you know, but, like, I would still give it, like, an 8.
Okay.
Like, I still really enjoy it, and what's so crazy to me is, like, watching it, thinking, like, that was a live audience show. That's like, there are people in this world that you could run into on the street that are older than us that, like, might have gone to a taping of Saved by the Bell.
That's true.
Isn't that crazy?
I guess. It's just weird to me that a show that was, fully employed by, like, minors did a live audience show. Like,
they must have filmed it in the middle of the afternoon.
They didn't. Like, they must have not had a very long schedule.
Yeah.
Like, because they were all under 18, which is extra amazing, because you're like, they still look kind of old to me. I don't know if it was the clothing.
I think the, Lisa ages the most. Like, I feel like when the series started, she looked very young.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, she looked appropriately aged, I thought.
Because if you look at, like, a 16 or 17-year-old now, you think, oh my god, you look like a baby. But, like, they, like, didn't look like babies. Like, they look like little adults.
Yeah. Like, well, I still think Lisa did look like a little baby. For me. I thought she grew up fine. But everybody else, like, Jesse, I thought, always looked old.
Yeah.
I think Zach looked really young in the first couple of seasons, but then he immediately, like, when he hit puberty, he looked like he was 25.
He didn't have an awkward fear. Like, he went from being, like, a cute kid to, like, handsome man. Like, overnight.
And Slater just still looks exactly the same right now as he did back then.
He looks better now. I still don't find him terribly attractive.
I don't think he's attractive. I like the dimples, yes, when he smiles. Yeah. They're very cute. But, no, I've never found him cute or, like, attractive.
No, he's got beady eyes.
But he looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But he always looked that way. Like, he's got that Fountain of Youth thing going on.
He looks good.
Or Fountain of 20-something Youth, because he's always kind of looked like he's in his 20s.
Yeah, even when he was, like, 14, he looked like he was 25. Yeah. He had, like, that, he was, like, that kid with the mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly still looks pretty great today. Amber Thiessen.
The only one that looks bad, I think, is
Lark.
Is Lark Voorhees. A.K.A. Lisa Turtle.
Yeah, she looks rough.
Yeah.
Did you know there was a period of time in my life, I think it was like 5th and 6th grade or 4th and 5th grade, it was a couple of grades of my life, where I tried to turn in all of my papers with my name spelled with an I instead of a Y, because I liked Tiffany Amber Thiessen so much. And she spelled her name T-I-F-F-A-N-I.
Oh, yeah?
And so I started trying to spell my name that way until my mom saw one of my papers. She's like, what are you doing? She said, that's not how you spell your name.
Did you put a little heart over the eye?
No, I never did that.
A little star?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, that's okay. That's good. That would have been a bridge too far.
That would have been a bridge too far. I almost said Terabithia.
I get that reference.
Good.
Cool. Any final thoughts?
I still love Saved by the Bell. I could watch it forever. Except for the college years. I don't want to talk about that.
No, I didn't like those either.
It's a dark period.
It was. They tried. A for effort.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything more to say. Just, you know, like, Zach Morris forever.
Yeah, he's, like, I still find him handsome.
He is handsome.
Yeah, I was like, even, like, I'm like, okay, that's a child, and I'm like, oh, he's a handsome child.
He is a strong lad.
No, he doesn't, like, he doesn't look like a 17-year-old. Like, maybe it was the clothing. I know there was a lot of blousing going on.
There was a lot of,
like, tight jeans with, like, a big bloused silk shirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's, like, such an old man look.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I should go look at how old he was during certain episodes that I particularly remember fondly, like that one where Scree trips his shirt, which I talk about, I feel like, every third podcast.
Yeah, when he and Screech get in a fight. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his shirt rips open. That was...
I liked it. I wonder how old he was then. I hope he was 18.
I don't think he was. But, you know, like, he could have been. We don't know.
I don't know. And we'll never know. There's no way to find out.
Yeah, there's internet.
Do you have any final final words?
No, just still classic, still on Team Zach to this day.
To this day, man.
I've never been Team Slater.
No, the mullet's disgusting. No,
it's like, and I don't like how, it's like so, it like looks wet all the time. Like, yeah. I feel like if I touched it, my hand would be like covered in goo. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's gross.
And so, like, I get, Zach's got a lot of mousse in his hair. It's probably very crunchy and stiff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, man.
Something about
him. I dig Mark Paul Gosselaar. He's a handsome young man.
MPG.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait. He can get it.
He can get it all night.
As an adult.
As a grown man now.
He's
41 now.
Oh, I totally still find him very handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even suffered through a couple episodes of Franklin and Bash.
Oh.
Because he was in it.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
I couldn't, though. I couldn't. Stick with it.
Yeah.
Sorry if you're listening, Mark Paul.
Or who's the other guy?
Breckenmeyer.
Sorry, guys.
I think you're going to be okay, though.
Yeah, you guys are really fine. Those sweet, sweet residuals.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
I gave it an 8.
All right.
It's solid. It was a solid, solid venture for us.
Yeah. Good job, team.
Good job, team Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, you did.
And team us.
Peter Engels.
So, go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter if you want.
Yeah.
We're at Nostalgia Killer.
We are.
And we're, you know, moderately funny on our own right. Caitlin's funnier than I am.
No, that's debatable.
She tweets more than I do.
I tweet more than you do, but, like, that doesn't mean I'm funny. You post funny things when
you
do
I'll
post.
Well, I'll forget that I have Twitter. And then I'll remember, like, after a couple months.
I had to explain to Demi what Twitter is, and then she re-remembers.
It's like, what is that movie, 50 First Dates with Drew Barrymore? It's like, every day I wake up, you have to remind me what Twitter is.
A secret. Tiffany still thinks it's 2003. Don't tell any. Okay, anyway.
Thinks it's?
It knows it's.
Anyway, follow Caitlin on Twitter. She's at Duffosaurus_Rex.
Duffosaurus Rex.
Duffosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
She likes dinosaurs.
If you don't like dinosaurs, get out. Go home.
Don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, it's not go for you. Go home.
They're probably listening to it at home.
Oh, no. Or get out of your car. Just park your car. Get out on the freeway. That's
dangerous.
No, but if they're parking it, like, on the shoulder? On the
shoulder
and just walk on. Get out of here.
What if we see someone do that one day? We're like, oh, we know what you're listening to. And you hate dinosaurs.
I'll high five you. That's what'll happen.
Right.
Anyway, well, have a great night.
Yeah. Once again, I'm Tiffany.
I'm Caitlin.
Bye.
See you later.